I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 149, and I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star, and with me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And we have our king baby duck, Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And security guy, Greg.
Hola.
This episode, big news. Fall 2018, the last season of the year.
Of 2018.
Of 2018 has started.
And it's... so far, so good.
It's
much better than last season.
Well, we were surprised because when we were going through the preview, we were like, "Yeah, all right, maybe I'll watch that. Yeah, I guess
well,
I'll watch that too.
Yeah, let's check it out. Ooh, this is actually interesting."
Well, I've noticed that I didn't really know what I wanted out of this season, so there wasn't really anything to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so many that I want to choose from and just check out. Well, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but
no expectations creates high expectations.
I guess so, because you know. It's funny because we had so many choices last season in winter or in summer, but it wasn't super great. It was good. Like we had a good season in summer, but it wasn't like last summer or the summer before that.
Yeah,
where it was like the absolute hit.
And yeah,
we'll discuss all that.
So, we're gonna talk about this new season, what we have watched. We gave you the preview in the last episode. In this episode, we're gonna be giving you what we got to watch, what has been released, and what we were surprised by, in more ways than one. So, let's start by ringing the news bell. So, first one that I want to start with is, we actually got our one piece of fan service, which I'll read now, from our Wicked fan, Temsu. And he sent us a trailer for a re-release of a movie, I believe it was. I think it's an anime film called Hells.
Yeah, this is actually the first time it's being released in America.
Is it? Yeah, okay.
Oh, and of course, the people over at Discotech are the ones who get a hold of something like that.
Yeah, Discotech down in Orlando, Florida. They're awesome. They're
in Longwood, Florida, specifically.
I thought they were in Orlando.
Longwood.
Okay. But this anime, it looks crazy. It looks like something either Hiroyuki Imashi or Takashi Koike would have had a hand in, because that's how stylish it looks. The trailer is awesome. Because, first of all, the dub cast is all Team 4 Star, which is interesting. They're doing legit stuff now, I guess.
Yep.
And, I mean, they've done it before. We know this.
And they are good. They are actually good voice actors.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, they are.
It's crazy that you just steal other anime off the internet and re-record over it, and then like you become famous for it, and they'll be like, "It's okay." And then you
give
you a career.
That seems to be the way that the American industry has been running the whole.
It's how Japan, it's how Crunchyroll worked.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say.
Well, think about it's kind of like how Weird Al Yankovic got a career out of parodying other people's music.
Absolutely. Team 4 Star is the Weird Al of anime, I guess.
It is okay. That's a great analogy.
So, but anyways, they're on this cast, and I actually was very happy. Like, not only the animation for the show Hells was great, but also the just the writing for it. Like, there's a girl who goes to hell, and she comes across a bunch of people who have been sent to hell by accident, and it's their job to get out. And in order to do that, they have to defeat the evil overlord of hell, Helvis. And
you know what? This is sounding a lot like the Gwar album Beyond Hell, because they accidentally get sent to hell, and they have to actually defeat the head of hell, who is named... actually, I don't know if I can say the name on here. You may have to cut it out, but the name is Jucifer.
What? Why is that? Why does that need to be cut out?
The name Jucifer. Yeah. J-E-U.
Oh, okay. I see. I had in my head juice, like a juice box.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you might have to cut that out.
I don't think so. I mean, it's Gwar. Gwar did it.
Yeah.
So,
oh, right. That is
as
true.
As long as everybody know that Gwar did it, not us.
now that we're going to label Evan as an anti-Semite.
No! Don't!
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's not happening. So, this movie seems awesome, and I totally want to check it out if we get our grasps on it. So, when Anime Boston rolls around and Discotech Media has their booth there, I'm going to see if they have Hells. It's going to go right on my list. Thank you, Temsu. All right,
yes.
Let's get into the rest of the news. And I think we have some new shows to talk about. Evan, you have that list. It's a long list of show announcements.
Yeah, they got announced.
I know. And this news was just announced today on this recording. And oh my God, how excited are we at the fact that Laid Back Camp is coming back.
Yay.
In a huge way.
Yeah, we have... Season 2, first and foremost, right?
Yes, we have Season 2, which was the first thing to be announced.
Yeah.
Then, later on, and this was like announced during like a big, huge event like surrounding Laid Back Camp, they announced that it is also going to be getting a new short anime series, Heia Camp, the Room Camp, kind of like those bonus episodes that came out with the DVDs over there. And last but not least, it's also getting a full-length movie.
I wonder
if the movie is going to be like a summation. Like, you know how they do anime movies and they just sum up an entire season in 1 2-hour movie?
But they just did Non Non Biori as a movie over there. Right. Non Non Biori Vacation. So they could hypothetically do like a movie where they go camping for a weekend and they just get into some crazy shenanigans.
That's true. I
want to see that Non Non Biori movie.
I've heard good things about it. Like, people who went to see it, they say it's one of the most relaxing yet funny films to come out of the anime industry in a while.
I would never expect such a relaxing anime to be able to hold such a feature-length film, you know? Like,
apparently it was so popular that it went from, like, the little miniature theaters where they show these types of films to the actual legit big theaters. Like, it was that popular.
That's really strange.
Well, it's a good anime. I mean... It's very underappreciated, and I feel like they're realizing, I guess it is a lot more popular than we thought we were. But Laid Back Camp, we're getting the anime version of it, and I am actually waiting on the Nendoroid for Nadeshko, and I also pre-ordered the deluxe version of the Rand one that actually has all, like, the camping equipment and her motorcycle it was a scooter. The moped. So it's like a little playset, like, that she has, so you can have Rin and Nadeshko camping together in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, what's another show?
All right, so Arrow Manga Sensei. It's the king of trash anime. And it has been revealed that there will be 2 new OVA episodes released this January, which probably means that a second season will be announced shortly after that, because that's what they did with Ori Emo.
Trash. So what scares me about OVA is that there's a lot less limitations to that. So,
well, that, I mean, they're not going to show anything. It's just going to be it's just going to be trashier. But they're also, my problem with OVA is that it's harder for us to get it.
Didn't the Ori Emo ones come out over here?
only on the DVDs. You had to buy the DVD box sets.
And you had to spend a lot of money for them.
I did. I spent a lot. Well, no, I actually spent a normal amount of money on them because Aniplex has Oriimo. So when the only way I could buy Oriimo was when it was during the Christmas sale and it was like 50% off, which brought it down to a normal anime normal box set. Yeah.
Hooray! He only paid $1,000.
So the two episodes that the OVA is, they're going to be normal episode length. We have Elf Yamada no Love Song, or Elf Yamada's Love Song, and Sagari Izumi's First Kiss. So so hopefully the first kiss isn't with her stepbrother.
Well, it probably will be. But but it's just weird because it has that as a title. Like that's what the OVA is titled.
Yes.
It's just like, does that mean that we now know what the whole OVA is going to be about or what, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, they spoiled the climax. gross. So, what else we got?
All right. So, in manga news, we have the return of Cromartie High School.
Oh, my.
Yes.
That's unexpected.
So, let me talk about this because it's a spinoff sequel. And it focuses on the teachers of Cromartie High.
Cool.
So it teases that the third year Class B teacher, the great teacher, and the evil female teacher. So we'll have to see what that's going to be like. But knowing Cromartie, you know, the live action Cromartie High School film is still my favorite live action like manga or anime adaptation.
Yeah,
because it's the right kind of bonkers.
It's perfect.
So good. Well, and it's funny because the first half of the movie is based off the anime, and the second half of the movie is an original story that the original creator produced.
Right, and it's actually a crossover with a TV show that came out in the early 80s in Japan. Like the whole the Space Gorilla and is an actual legit Japanese TV show that happened over there. In fact, there were actually a few episodes that were dubbed in English and brought over on TBS. And like I think only like 3 or 4 episodes aired before they pulled up.
What? That's crazy.
So yeah, Cromartie High coming back. Huzzah.
Yeah, that was so funny.
If you whistle, snakes will come. Are you going to whistle? Are you scared? I'm not scared, Pooh.
Oh, Cromartie High is so funny, guys. You have to, if people, I believe I have the anime on DVD, if not just the first volume. I can't remember what I have of Cromartie High on DVD, but I do have something from it.
I have the movie. I think my favorite episode of the anime is the one where they're trying to figure out the song, and it's everyone just going, and it just ends with just everyone in like a big giant chorus just doing that.
Yeah, guys, if you guys are missing out on brilliant anime comedy, you have to watch Cromartie High. It's so good.
It's like some of the best gag anime out there.
It really is.
Please explain to the viewer who might not know what that anime is.
It's about a kid who goes to a really, really tough high school.
Juvenile high school.
It's a juvenile delinquent high school. And it's just his everyday life in that juvenile delinquent high school.
It's gag humor and everything is just like Freddie Mercury goes to the school, a gorilla goes to the school,
a robot
goes to the school, but only the main character can see that he's a robot.
But he's shaped like a giant tin can.
Yeah. and everybody's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And yeah.
That sounds like my 7th grade experience.
It's,
all right.
It's absurd. It is just so funny.
It's honestly one of the funniest out there. And again, the live action movie is like the one live action anime film you can't miss. It is legit one of the best things that ever come out of Japan.
I think the only other live action Japanese movie that was based off of an anime was Otoko no Kujuku. Real Man High School.
Oh, Be a Man Samurai School.
The live action movie is called Be a Man Samurai School, but the anime is called Otoko.
Well, that movie's good, but it's too long, and the third act drags.
The third act does drag, but the first act is amazing.
The first act is absolutely amazing.
And the second act is good too when they're training for the final. Like it's all funny. It's all great. Yeah. Anyways.
It brings to mind, you know, some of the flaws that... Because I saw the live-action Gintama movie a couple weeks back, And it was funny, but for 2.5 hours, for 2.5 hour movie, it dragged a lot. Like, there was, like, probably, I would say about 10 times where I laughed out incredibly loud. But for the most part, it was, it was okay.
Japan needs to work on their pacing.
Yeah, Japan does not understand pacing.
Yeah, they do. Now, I think this final news piece in the anime realm is one of the most exciting ones, because we have four anime series, four very popular anime light novel series coming together for one epic super comedy show. And this show is called Isekai Quartet, and it's going to feature the characters from Konosuba, ReZero, Overlord, and Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Which, that last one is very strange.
I find that one to be the strangest pairing. Like, I don't know why Tanya's in there, because it's technically not an isekai. I mean,
no, it is. He gets transported into another world, and he's now a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, but it's just so different from the rest of them.
Because it's not a fantasy. It's like,
it's not like a D&D world. It's like World War One. You know, I don't know. It's
just, I mean, kind of, although you could already imagine maybe like the camaraderie that Tanya and Aqua might have.
Camaraderie? I don't know about that.
With Tanya being against being X, and maybe Aqua like cursing out her fellow goddesses for, you know, taking over her job and being stuck in that world, maybe they could team up or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, like, it's interesting. So is it going to be like a short anime? Is that what we're getting here?
I mean, I think it's going to be one of those short ones, because the person who directed it, Minoru Ashina, he's the guy who did Kaiju Girls and all the Overlord shorts.
Well, and that's just the Overlord shorts are actually pretty funny, but only if you watch Overlord. And then they also did the same thing for ReZero. They had like a ReZero Petite, which was like a little TV show for ReZero. They didn't do anything like that for Konosuba.
No, they did it for Tanya the Evil, and they did it for, we already did say they did it for Overlord.
So they're basically taking all those assets and making a show out of all those assets that they already have.
That's crazy. Yeah, right?
Yeah. It could be fun. I mean, it could be pretty funny. I mean, you know, anything with Konosuba in it, it is automatically going to be probably pretty funny.
Well, if the fact that isekai is in the title, they already know that they're going for absurdity, that they're parroting their own, like, basically they're taking a note from Wicked Anime and, like, saying, yeah, you know what, this whole genre boom is a good idea. So, or, like, it is absurd, so we're gonna exploit it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of absurdity, what's next, Evan?
All right, so let's talk about the live-action Monster Hunter movie that is totally not going to be like Monster Hunter at all whatsoever.
Okay, or let's not, and that's it.
The end of the story.
It's going to be great.
No, we do have to talk about a couple things here, because I take issue with a lot of them.
Yeah.
The first thing being that there was an extended cast announcement, right, Evan?
Yep, there is an extended cast announcement. We already knew that. Mila Jovovich is still going to be the
star. I'm going to put my wife in another movie, because she's such a good actress. She's not.
Multipass. That's how she's going to defeat the monsters. She's going to have the multipass.
Oh, I thought she was going to use her Resident Evil skills, whatever they were.
Alice, yeah. But Tony Jaa is going to be in the film.
He can't fight anymore.
He's washed up.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say he's washed up, but he doesn't do fight scenes anymore like he used to.
Yeah.
Now it's all choreographed.
If you've seen, like, his latest...
Killzone 2.
Killzone 2 was the last film that we saw him in, and it was every fight scene was filmed like a Hollywood fight scene, and it was sad because it was just not impressive. It wasn't Tony Jaa lighting his feet on fire and kicking somebody in the face. There wasn't a 15-minute long one-cut fight scene. There wasn't, like, anything of that sort. It was legitimately, like, Liam Neeson jumping over a fence.
Yeah, so now they're basically just saying, like, hey, Tony Jaa, you can be in a movie again. By putting him in.
Remember when everybody liked Tony Jaa?
Yeah.
He kicked people. Let's put him in this movie.
And then there was one more person after Tony?
Oh, Ron Perlman.
Oh, that's right. I guess, I mean,
Ron Perlman has potential, okay?
Well, he would be in a movie like that, is all I'm saying. I mean, he doesn't know what Monster Hunter is. I mean, come on. Ron Perlman has no idea what Monster Hunter is. He probably was, like, drinking really heavily, and they're just like, you want to be in a Monster Hunter movie? He's like, okay, that's fine.
Just for a reference on that, we're not saying that Ron Perlman's an alcoholic, but last time we saw him at Rhode Island Comic Con, he was very clearly
drunk. Live in person.
Live in person, he was very clearly drunk.
He was very drunk.
In a on the stage that housed like 2,000 people. So
keep in mind, it was like right after it was announced that someone else is playing as Hellboy Parcel. He's probably upset about that. Like, but I'm the only Hellboy! Yes, you are, Ron Perlman. Although that trailer was it a trailer? I did see some new pics of the new Hellboy, and it does look impressive.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Hellboy's awesome. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so is that guy from Stranger Things.
So, Monster Hunter, it's gonna be horrible, but...
I feel like if we do wind up going to see this movie, we should make a drinking game out of it. It should be like every time they fuck up the canon of the Monster Hunter franchise.
Like,
let's take another shot.
Is there even going to be any felines in it? Like, are the felines or the Meelings going to be in it? Come on.
Well, we saw a dragon versus an airplane.
All we've seen is a Rathian. That's it.
Taking down an airplane, mind you.
An airplane.
So...
That's not Monster Hunter.
Yeah. But this is Capcom sanctioned, though, too, right?
Yeah, but remember, so was fucking Resident Evil.
And remember as well, Capcom Vancouver just went out of business.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh,
what did they do?
Gaming news.
What did they do?
I talked about this on my most recent podcast show.
Yeah.
They did Dead Rising.
What's that?
Yeah, Capcom Vancouver were the guys that did Dead Rising.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dead Rising was good for the first game.
Yep.
Burn.
I don't like games with that force a time limit on you. I'm sorry. It's a huge turnoff for me.
It's super stressful.
The game is stressful.
All right. What's next?
Do we have?
All right. And further proof that there are no more ideas left in Hollywood, they're now making a Dance Dance Revolution movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Especially because. There's no more further ideas in Hollywood, especially because that's already been made. It's called the FP, and I think you can find it for free on YouTube, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a legit movie that was released, and it's about like in the hood. It takes place in the hood, and it's almost taken like 8 Mile, where this white guy, you know, who's like hooded up and stuff like that. His brother was murdered. Does underground street DDR. And that's what the movie's about.
They're going to fit aliens into this somehow. And it's going to be like, they got to save the world. And there's going to be like this epic speech where it's like,
if your friends don't dance,
and if they don't dance, well, they are no friends of mine.
Let's be honest. It's going to be a mix between Pixels and the Emoji Movie. That's exactly what it's going to be.
Just Dance in it.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I don't.
I repeat.
The only thing that I could see for a DDR movie, if it was like a documentary about really good DDR dancers. Do you remember that one time that we went to Round One in Taunton, and there was that Japanese dancing one where like it was an LED light pad.
Yeah,
that
it wasn't a DDR pad. It was the whole dance pad was kind of like, what is it called?
It was an LED lit pressure pad.
Yeah,
and it tracked your feet, and it could tell when your feet were floating above and when there was pressure on it. But anyways,
and we watched this kid play it, and it was insane. This kid was nuts.
My point is that people go to to arcades to play DDR in athletic training equipment, like uniforms. Like, they'll go with like a what looks like a jogging uniform.
It's a workout.
It is a workout.
It's a full workout.
But that's how I'm picturing this DDR movie. It's almost like The King of Kong, where it should be a documentary on DDR players. That would be a great film. I would go see that film like in an instant.
Did that dance game you were talking about? Was it Dance Rush? That after looking it up, that's what I'm getting.
Maybe
on their website, or Dance Rush Stardom might be the game. Not entirely sure, though.
I don't know. It was 100% Japanese, so it could be.
I'm not sure.
Found it, though. Yeah, let's all go see the DDR movie when it comes out. Yeah.
And Monster Hunter. We'll do a double feature. Monster Hunter DDR.
Day. Yep.
Wow. Thanks, Hollywood. You're so good at making movies.
Yep. We'll take a 30 minute bathroom break so that we can throw up and then go into the next film.
And then go and throw up after that.
Yeah.
Except we'll just have all the time in the world to throw up.
Yeah, you don't need a bathroom break for that. You can just do it on the sidewalk. They don't care.
But they're nice mandatory throw-up breaks.
Yeah.
I would be embarrassed purposely buying a ticket for that movie and going in, handing them the ticket, and watching the person look me in the eye and say, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would be personally embarrassed to try and buy it from Fandango. I feel like you would try. I feel like you would click on the ticket and it would start judging you right then and there. Be like... What the hell are you? There's a totally good Jim Jarmusch indie film that's opening up the same weekend, and you're seeing this shit?
No.
Honestly, what?
See, what's going to happen is we're going to order our tickets online for either one of those movies, and it's going to say there are no seats available. Nobody has bought tickets yet. They're just going to say there's no seats available. You can't reserve. It's just like, we don't want anybody to see this crap.
Or they want to see who actually comes in and buys tickets to see such a film.
Speaking of things that we're seeing, it's time to talk about what we've been watching this season.
That's right. We're just going to skip right to the meat of the show because we have a lot.
All
right.
Yes.
What we're watching and the Tamagotchi are one and the same, as we typically do every quarter in the year. And
I think we're going to save one particular show for the last one.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about. So let's start. Let's start with a good one. So we all watched Zombieland Saga.
Yes!
And this was kind of a sleeper hit. I was not expecting it to be the way it was.
I was expecting it to be more like the movie Zombieland, no lie. I thought it was going to be like something around those lines, but oh my god, my jaw dropped when I saw the very first minute of this show.
Yeah, I was expecting something, like, you knew, when you were watching that opening scene, you knew something was going on. I personally thought, because it was called Zombieland Saga, I thought she was going to be like, yay, today's the first day of my school career. And then, like, she steps outside, and there are just zombies eating people everywhere. That's what I was expecting. Yeah. What happened, though, was kind of...
She got hit by a bus!
It was one of those delivery trucks that they have in Japan, those, like, little mini delivery trucks, which is hilarious, but... Then the show goes into one of the most perfect openings ever, where it just starts playing death metal. And
it kind of has that sort of Zombieland feel to it, like when Metallica had the For Whom the Bells Tolls playing in the background.
Yeah, so I'm really kind of excited that the theming of this show is based on music, and it's a zombie show based on music. And now I'm kind of scared because the next episode says is called I Heart Hip Hop. And I really, really, really want the show to just be metal. Like, because the first episode was super metal, guys.
Yeah.
But it was.
But the difference is it was really funny. It was really cute. It was really metal. And really well animated.
Yeah. So
and it was really metal.
The approach that they took was that the show looks like a shoujo series. And the main character girl is obsessed with idols. And she wants to be one. And then circumstances happen where she ends up dying and she ends up in a house filled with zombies. And so they're
not knowing anything about her previous life,
right? Not remembering anything about her previous life. And, I'm not going to go any further than that because I want you to experience it for yourself.
But the manager man is awesome.
Oh god.
Yes. He is so good.
So brilliant.
Yeah.
Guys, just watch it. Everybody has to watch the first episode of Zombieland Saga. If that episode can't grab you into the series immediately, then I don't know if there's any point in watching it after that, because the first episode was perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of like the first, like when you watch the very first episode of a show that is returned this fall, which is Thunderbolt Fantasy.
Wait, Greg, you watched the Zombieland Saga with us as well before we move on.
I did.
What did you think?
So my thoughts were, and I didn't, like, pick it up right away for some reason because I might have been a little distracted. But I really liked how just the way everything connected was very well done.
It was very well planned out.
Yes.
The first episode was very well written and planned out as, like, a proper movie or film should have been.
Yeah, so it's like, it has that sort of MAPPA comedy vibe to it, because these are, I think this is the same people who did Punchline, because it has that similar animation style to it.
And the way they revealed like some facts about the main character was just spot on, and it kind of had you wondering, like, it like a page turner. It's like, oh, what's next? Like, you want to figure out what's going on with her backstory.
Yeah.
It kind of left you maybe on a cliffhanger a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's at the end of the first episode, there's something left to be desired that's going to make you come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
This is the type of anime that will grab you with the first episode, or it won't grab you. And it will be the deciding factor of whether or not you're going to continue watching it. Kind of like how this one show has come back from a couple years back, Thunderbolt Fantasy. Thunderbolt Fantasy Season 2 has just started this fall, and oh my god, I am just like dove right back into the insane puppetry that this show, that this series showcases.
I can't keep up with this show. I'm still on Season 1.
What? Dude, you're the one who told me to start watching this show to begin
it's
with.
True. I know. I remember that specifically, and it's great. I'll tell anybody that they should be watching the show, but I can only give them recommendations based off of the first couple episodes that I've seen.
All right. So they have started to introduce new characters, one of which is this guy who, like, his weapon is basically a one of those, like, Japanese little lutes or lyres, you know, those like, yep, little tiny guitar sort of things.
Yep.
Oh man, watching that in action, he like plucking the guitar and just seeing things explode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this is the type of show that you have to present to people who think puppetry is just for children.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and I love the artistry in it. It's so different, and it's bloody and gory.
It is. And I've been loving every single aspect of it.
Yeah.
And apparently it's going to get an English dub. Apparently Funimation is going to be doing a simul dub of Season 2. And I think they're going to go back and dub Season 1 of that. And I'm curious as to who's going to play all these characters.
Yeah, it'll be hilarious either way.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious, but badass. That's what makes Thunderbolt Fantasy great. It's like, it's funny, but then, like, there are parts where you're watching the fights in action and you forget you're watching puppets.
Speaking of funny but badass, let's talk about Doug and Kirill.
Double Decker.
Oh, and, so, wait, I forgot about that one. I did not expect this anime to turn out the way that it did. But, man.
So funny.
It was hilarious. Like, and I'm not talking about hilarious in an anime gag sort of way. It's like American comedy.
Dude, I was saying that, I think I posted this on Twitter, but the character of Travis, who's the boss, is legit Phil Ken Sebin from Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Oh, that's right.
It's legit him!
That's funny. Yeah.
All it's missing is him going, ha, ha, ha!
See, okay, so I watched the first episode, and I agree that it was funny, but it did a thing that was very anime that I absolutely hated.
Yeah.
Which was, when the show opened up, it opened up on an action scene, and was like, this person is an anthem, and he has been overdriven. And I was like, like,
your anime thinks you're dumb.
Yeah, like, overtired use of, this is a monster, and we call it this, and it has this power, and I hate that so much. And not only that, but when an anime series opens up with a narration, and that narration is an adolescent boy's voice, I also hate that.
But that's the point, though.
I know that they made it a gag. They pretty much made it a gag afterwards. But I audibly groaned when they started playing it, because I'm not into adolescent boy voice at all.
Okay,
like, yeah. I'd much rather watch I'm a manly man, and this is your anime, and we're gonna kill things. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but
I thought it was funny in the second episode. I was like, this is Kirill! Kirill's really a girl! Just kidding, he's a boy.
Yeah, so there's things like that going through, like, and, like, what you're talking about, even with the first episode's opening,
you know, cinematic where he's talking about, this is the story how I've become the hero of the detective agency. No, it's not, like, a different narrator comes in and is like, that's not it at all, you know, and this is a show about detectives, you know, like, it was just, it was good in that sense.
Yeah. It kind of has that sort of, when you did that, it kind of reminds me of Strong Bad.
Detective!
The detective show!
Yeah, we just lost half of our audience. They have no idea who's Strong Bad.
But that's true, though. And then once you got through that first opening piece and then the satire came in, it never really lost that edge. You're kind of like, oh, okay, what am I supposed to be expecting now? And, like, they have Doug, who's, like, taking down the monster or the bad guy at the end of the first episode. But then he was like, wait a minute, Kirill, how about you do this for me? Because my foot is stuck in this pipe. You know, like, he says it, he delivers it like that. He's like, no, I could take care of this right now, but my foot is stuck in this pipe.
And then, well, not only that, but then after they beat that guy and he brings the hostage out, all the cops tackle him.
All the cops tackle Kirill. It's like, there, he's got the hostage. Yeah. They start beating him up. Like, oh, man.
Well,
yeah, that was
well
so
when you
funny.
See a naked guy just come out, it's like, well, of course you're going to beat up the naked dude. He's probably the crazy one.
Yeah, it was funny. Like, there were some great jokes like that in it, you know? And
I will agree that it was funny, but the first episode wasn't quite enough to be like, maybe I should devote a whole season into this.
Yeah.
It so was episode sure. two where that made me go, I think this is going to be my pick.
Ooh. Yeah, you said that it was going to be your pick, which was kind of out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of looking at two anime right at the moment.
Yeah.
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 And by the way, apparently this series is connected to the show Tiger and Bunny in some fashion.
Oh, that, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
I could believe it, but it doesn't look like it's in the same reality.
Yeah, right?
Or the same like futuristic timeline. I don't know.
Right. It might be it might be different. Or it could be the fact that maybe Tiger and Bunny is an actual, like, thing, like, a show that's within Double Decker universe.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
So, speaking of ones that I'm not 100% convinced by just yet, and no season would be complete without Wicked Anime talking about Studio Trigger's next show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't get to watch this yet.
SSS.Gridman.
Say it right. It's Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad Gridman.
Yeah,
that's right.
But there was it was a little different because the show ended up playing out like Ultraman in the first episode,
which they actually reference.
Yes, they did reference Ultraman.
Yeah, it was like, if this was an Ultra show, they'd be dead right now.
So it was interesting though. I thought the characters were cool, but it wasn't the best opening. It did take a little bit,
but I will say this. I love the fact that the computer setup they have there is exactly like the computer setup from the American version of Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Really?
Yeah.
So the things that I did like about it, I mean, the writing was great. I thought the writing was really good, and I liked the characters. And I liked that the fights, like, okay, so there's a giant kaiju, right? And they did this thing where they animated the kaiju lumbering around the city like it was a dude in a rubber suit.
That I did love.
It was super convincing. And the fight itself was awesome. Like, Studio Trigger awesome fight. But you had to wait, I think it was like 14 minutes in order to get to
it.
Well,
yeah. I mean, the same thing happened with Darling in the Franxx, though, where it was like, oh man, six episodes in and it's just getting good.
Yeah, no, so this
and
is...
And then Darling in the Franxx is like, oh man, Darling in the Franxx is awesome.
And then it went,
Darling in the Franxxx is dumb. That's great! Then it's dumb. Great, dumb.
I do want to point out that Studio Trigger does have a trend of not giving the most convincing first episode, but you can't deny that they're remaking Superhuman Samurai Squad. So I'm on board. I'm going to keep watching that one. I'm going
to
try at least.
I forgot about that, and I do have to check that out, but my VRV app is broken. Fix your damn app, VRV.
But what have you, did you watch anything else, though?
Yes, I did. I watched a show also that I'm not super sure about yet. I'm a little convinced by it, but because I started watching this one and I had no idea that it was going to go in this direction, which was From Sky to Sea, which is the show where...
It's about a fishing town.
It's about a fishing organization where all the fish on Earth just disappeared one day. And so now they live in a future where they launch rockets into space and fish in like the sky oceans and get, because it starts it right in the beginning where it's just like, because Japanese people love fish, so they need it, so to fill their need for fish, they went to space to
get so their, long and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah. And
so sad it has to come to this.
Let me finish this because I don't want to talk about it forever. So the whole premise of the show is now that we've completed our test trials of this operation of going into the space and fishing, we're now opening it up to make it an equal opportunity job, and we're hiring women to go into space. And so it's just like, of course, the first episode is just like, hey, we're a group of 15-year-old girls with no experience. We're going to go into space. And everybody was like, no. And then they go into space anyway because they're just like, I bet you can't do it. And so that's what they did. They went into space. One of the girls has no training and she gets lost and she's like super bubbly and like airheaded. So they only introduced about three of the girls that are of the five that will be in the all-female troop that do the fishing thing. But it was weird because they made it like this weird, like, oh, women can't do these things. And they're like, I bet women can do these things. And then there were like these complete and total obvious sexist men who are just like, you're just women. You can't do this. And I was just like, come on, guys. Like, it's just dumb. Yeah. And then and then so they all went into space. And then to control the ships that you drive in space that are your like fisherman ship, you have to download a phone app that you download a demigod or something to your phone app and it gives you a superpower that you use for fishing. And I was just like, there's too many shows mashed into this show right now.
Stick to one show, show.
I know, you have like this goofy girl show where, you know, all the female characters are trying to be cute and have their own moe personalities. And then you have this, oh, let's do a workforce show where we're fishing giant monsters in space. And then you have this, oh, let's make it a mobile app show, and they have all these characters that like talk to them on their phones because you downloaded this one character. It's just like there's so many like premises going on right now. I'm not really sure what's happening, but at least the female characters are cute, you know. Kind of. So I would recommend watching it just to see what I'm even talking about. But it wasn't what I expected. I expected there to actually be more male characters. I had no idea that it was a all female casted. Or main casted show. There are male characters in it, but they're not kind of useless.
This is anime, remember. It's all cute girls all the time.
I know. And then it was, you know, launching into space. And I don't know. I'm just rambling now. But I check out the first episode just to see what I'm talking about. But it was okay.
We thought that most of you were sweet.
So, yeah, so the fish, we don't know where the fish went. It basically started the premise off of the first episode of, it doesn't matter what happened to him, this is the premise for our show. And it was like, oh, okay, that's fine, you know. But then the main character is airheaded and dumb, and she gets lost, and then they're like, where is she? She's supposed to be training to be a fisherman. And then she ends up going and meeting professional fishermen, and they're like, no, you can't fish because you're a woman. And then they do the whole thing. And then they download things on their phone so they can have demigods in their fish thing. So is there any other shows that we watched?
Dogakoba? Did you watch any of
the not watch any of the Dogakoba shows.
You didn't watch Uzumaid yet?
No, I haven't watched Uzumaid, and I have not watched the cheerleading one yet.
Yeah, the cheerleading one just went up like a couple hours ago.
Yes.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, you know what I did watch? I watched that short anime about the high school kid who marries the weird,
the fluffy,
yeah,
demigod
like the
thing.
Yeah, the
speaking
weird.
Speaking of demigod,
you mean it's like 90 seconds of the show is the show, and then it's under 90 seconds that's the opening theme
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I know.
It I'm like, horrible. What the fuck?
Yeah, like nothing happened. It was for a short anime. Usually, they do a pretty good job at. Putting a whole bunch of information in the episodes, but I don't know what was going on. It was just like, hey, here's the premise of the show. Opening cinematic, dance number.
The end.
I was like, what?
I don't get this.
And not to mention, it's just, they're suggesting in the opening that this kid actually falls in love with whatever the hell this thing is.
It looks like a flork.
Yeah, it does. It's true. And especially because in the opening credits, they show it doing para para. And I was just like, this is creepy. Like, what is this?
Oh, man, that's so weird.
It was super weird. I didn't know what was going on.
Did you watch the new Isekai?
You mean Which that one? Time I got reincarnated as a slime?
Yes, I did watch that one.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed the first episode.
I enjoyed the first episode too, but it was a lot of talking.
I think it was a lot of, I wouldn't say talking, but it's more setting up the world.
Yeah, like it was just, the first half was setting up the character, the second half was setting up the world, but only through conversation. And I was just
but
like,
it was
oh,
a pretty
man.
Funny conversation, especially with the dragon.
I
want to be friends
is,
with me? If you don't want to be friends, it's not like I said I didn't want to be
know,
friends with you.
A tsundere ancient dragon. And it's like, okay. And I thought it was really interesting that I didn't know this premise, but the slime character actually is able to morph itself into a humanoid form, which is what they didn't show that in the first episode, but they showed that in the opening and the closing.
Okay.
That this weird blue-haired character was actually the slime. I didn't know that. Though, you know what was really weird that I thought was just super, super, super bizarre? Was the character was just like, I'm 37 years old and I've never had a girlfriend. And then he's like, but I'm okay with my life. And then in order for him to get to the world, he gets stabbed. And then he's just like, and then while he's dying, like bleeding on the ground, he's just like, I'm a virgin. I don't want to die a virgin. And it's like, oh no. And then he's just like, if I could change my life, I would be so more aggressive with women. And I was just like, so is now. I was like, wait a second. Is the premise of this show going to be him as a slime character and being more aggressive with pursuing women? I don't know yet because nothing happened, but it's weird.
Oh, if I could go back, I'd just fuck everything that moved.
Like, it was so not.
It was kind of funny, but at the same time, it's like, what a 180.
There was no reason for that premise to even be brought up, you know? Like, unless they're going to act on it, and when he becomes the slime humanoid, he starts pursuing more women. Why don't they just make him do that without being like, I'm a virgin! Why am I gonna die a virgin? Like, it was just weird. It's like, who cares if you're a virgin, dude? Like, stop complaining. You know,
well, to be fair, he was dying. If that happened to me, that'd be the first thing that popped in my head.
No, when somebody's dying, literally you don't care about anything else. Like, that wouldn't be the thought at the forefront of your mind. The forefront would be, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next, because nothing else matters anymore. Like, when you're dying, I'm pretty sure nothing else matters. You just stop thinking about certain premises of your life, you know, because that's the thing that's currently happening to you. So, I don't know.
No. Yeah. I don't want to test that theory out, so...
When I die, I'm going to think about my sex number. That's going to happen.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I know. All right. So the only other thing that I've watched is the one that we're saving for last. So if anybody has anything else,
I don't remember.
I want to talk about Radiant because I did. You know, I really enjoyed the first episode of this, and it actually does a better job with setting up the world than the actual manga did in the first chapter. The first chapter in the manga version of Radiant kind of drags. This one just dives you right into the world and the action and the comedy that it presents. And, you know, it's from Lerche, who did last season's The Subby Off Sabase and Assassination Classroom. And they usually do a great job when it comes to adapting things from manga to anime. And they did a fantastic job taking out a lot of the filler and a lot of the dry things that were a little bit of an issue I had with the first chapter of Radiant. But I forgot that the first chapter of Radiant was like 80 pages long, so the first two episodes are actually covering like the first chapter of it. And all they've right. already switched around like a lot of stuff too, like introducing characters later on that were actually introduced earlier in the manga, and certain aspects of that began like a chain of events. And I think they actually paced the introduction to the main characters a lot better in the anime than it did in the manga.
Right. Cool.
So that's one on my list.
I actually remember another one that we haven't talked about yet that I did watch, which was Rascal Does Not
Dream of... Yes, that was a big surprise.
Yeah, so the way that I described it was it's a deconstruction of anime, but without the comedy. Like, it's almost like a dramatic sci-fi series about the deconstruction of anime without being ironic.
I don't know how that experience would work.
Well... Yeah, because you have a main character who's kind of blasé and like, I'm not interested in pursuing a relationship. And then it's just like, oh, okay, so this isn't going to be a romantic anime. And then you have other characters who are just like, oh, I don't really know how to explain it. You'd have to watch it.
That sounds like something that
it's actually, it's a very interesting show. And I'm actually curious to see where it's going to take the...
Is it worth it?
I would say it's definitely worth it.
They're going to be introducing more characters as well. So that'll be interesting. So I'd be interested to see what... Because it's about a syndrome. It's called adolescent syndrome.
Yeah.
Where every single person in their adolescence experiences adolescent syndrome in a different manner.
Oh, this is the one with the bunny girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why it's called Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl.
Oh, I didn't.
So the bunny girl is this girl experiencing adolescent syndrome who's literally a celebrity. And she doesn't want people viewing her as popular. So people literally stop seeing her, but the kid can see her.
Which is why she walks around in a bunny girl outfit, just to test the theory.
Is to test the theory, so she'll walk around in a ridiculous outfit and nobody can notice her.
Right, which I should bring up that this is not like a fan service heavy show, because if that were the case, she would actually be walking around naked.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized that Angels of Death episode 13 came out.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I didn't watch it because they said that, I thought it was, they were only going to, 13 through 15 were going to be exclusive to Amazon.
No, that's only in Japan.
Well, yeah, I know that, but that's pretty cool. So, before we move on to the last show, then, I just want to point out that the other shows that are coming out this season that we did not get to watch yet, but we plan on watching, mm-hmm. is, I want to watch Anima Yell, which is the other Dogokoba anime. Mm-hmm. Then there is Hitome House, which is a short anime.
Yep.
Yeah, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Kinomaru Sumo, which I might watch. I don't know if you're going to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the sumo wrestling one.
Miss Vampire Lives in My Neighbor's House or something?
Neighborhood. I actually watched the first episode of that one.
Oh, did you?
It was really cute. It looks like it's by the same team who did Kinero Mosaic. And it has a very, very similar vibe to it. Where instead of like the Japanese girl being obsessed over the British girl, she's obsessed over the vampire. And they wind up, you know, living together in the same house. It's very adorable. It's definitely a show that I would recommend saving watching after more than likely the show that we may be talking about in the last part.
I don't know if Skullface Bookseller is good.
Yeah, that one just came out a little while ago.
Did any of us talk about Uzumaid yet?
No.
Oh, that's right. You actually watched that. That was a show that I was going to continue to watch, but you actually watched it.
I watched it. I know some people may be a little bit about its premise, and even I was a little bit with like the older woman obsessed with this like Russian elementary school girl student sort of thing. But it got funny in a lot of places. Especially with the fact that like this older woman who is just getting out of the military, and she isn't like the cute military girl. She's like, she's got a six pack on top of a six pack that have biceps on top of another six pack. Like, she is fit.
That, I like that.
Yeah. I don't see where the issue is.
Well, the issue is more of like, she is obsessed with like when she goes in to do like the whole job thing, I want to work in a job where I can dress up elementary school girls in weird outfits. And the guy running the job thing is like, there is no fucking career out there that will let you do that. And then when she gets the job as the maid, she calls up and goes, I found a job where I can do that. And the guy's like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's funny. That's
but funny. It's... Like, people may be creeped out. Like, the reviews for, like, the first impressions on Anime News Network, like, one guy gave it a 3, everyone else gave it, like, 1, 0s, and a nope. But this is the same writer and director duo that did Himoto Maru-chan, Gabriel Dropout, and Kotora-san. So I know there's gonna be something really good that's gonna come out of this.
Okay, good. Cause
I'm gonna watch it anyway.
Oh, I'm gonna watch... I watch almost everything that's Dogo...
Dogo-kobo.
Yeah, Dogo-kobo. So, because I like them, because they do a
lot of stuff. Like, it had, it has the funniest end theme sequence.
Oh, that's good.
Is it sung by the character?
Yes,
by
it is sung by the voice actors.
I have such a soft spot for theme songs that are sung by the
The opening theme is sung by the maid with the backing vocals from the girl. And then the end theme is the maids with backing vocals with the girl. And then the opening theme is the girl with the maid doing the backing vocals sort of thing. And the end theme is really, really funny. Because, do you want me to spoil it or do you want to be surprised?
Oh, no. I'll watch it. So, no.
No spoiling. Okay. But Uzumaid was very funny. I thought it was funny. I know some people may not like this sort of humor it's going to showcase. But, like I said, I know this writer and director duo, they usually do a great job. There's going to be something more to the show than the pervy maid being all over the elementary school girl student. There's going to be something more to it.
Cool. So, which brings us to Goblin
Slayer. Oh my god.
Okay, so Goblin Slayer was freaking awesome. I loved it.
Like, okay.
Now we were in our Facebook chats being like, guys, like, it's
prepare
super,
yourself.
Yeah, like, it's super messed up.
No, make
sure you save Uzumaid for after Goblin Slayer.
Yeah, and I basically said, it is fucked up.
And so when we all watched it today together, Jonathan saw it first, but, I went into it ready to watch it, knowing that it was messed up, and knowing that... And the first thing I asked Jonathan was, is it End of Evangelion messed up, or is it Berserk messed up? And he was like, well, it's kind of Berserk messed up, but it leans more towards Berserk messed up, but it didn't go as far as Berserk messed up.
You don't think so?
I don't know. It was like Berserk light, I guess. And
I was eating lunch while watching this anime, and when it got to the whole miniature goblin of how do we put this goblin rape scene, like, rape. I dropped my sandwich.
Yeah,
no, not sandwich.
Like, I was like eating, and then that happened, and I'm like, let me put it to you this way. After I watched this episode, I marathoned through the entirety of season 2 of Netflix's Big Mouth just so I could get that image out of my head.
Make yourself throw up?
No, I laughed at it. Big Mouth is hilarious. I don't know what you're talking about.
So here's the thing. Goblin Slayer, this is full circle now. The character Goblin Slayer is exactly what I'm talking about when I say, I don't want no adolescent boys narrating the openings of my animes. Because you have shows like Goblin Slayer where bad, like really bad stuff happens to these characters. And then the hero shows up.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh man. Like, Goblin Slayer is my kind of dude. You know, I freaking love
him. He's a great character. Like, we've only seen like, what, 10 minutes of this guy. And I'm like... I want beers with this man. I want to hear stories from this guy.
Yeah, so because he's a hero, you know, and he's not like a...
I don't know if he's a hero yet. I think that he just really, really hates goblins.
Well, it's true. That is true. But
the show would make anybody.
Hate goblins. Yeah, no kidding.
But I think that's the point where you put these characters that are clearly weaker and more susceptible to danger in trouble. And then you have the bigger, stronger hero comes save them.
Can we mention like how many flags were triggered as like the weaker characters were talking?
Yeah,
it's okay. I'm one of the strongest warriors. I can kill goblins no problem. That's a flag.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, this mage graduated from the top college. That's a trigger. That's a flag.
I don't need any healing. That's potions. A
flag. Well,
I think it was really cool too how they foreshadowed the sword thing happening when he was just messing around and
acting like a stupid kid.
And he knocks his sword off the ceiling. And then Goblin Slayer comes back later and he's just like, this sword is too effing long.
Yeah, is this kid using the sword?
Yeah, it's like, you can't use swords like this in a cave, it's too long. And it's like, oh, Goblin Slayer, you're amazing.
So this is also a prime example of the problem that most anime have, which is don't tell show.
Yeah.
Like, when they introduce Ezra Scarlet in Fairy Tail, they're like, Ezra Scarlet's such a badass, stay away from her, she's super scary.
We promise.
Yeah, we promise. Yeah. And then 48 minutes later, she shows up. But this is like, we see Goblin Slayer. We don't even know Goblin Slayer. Like, we know the show's name is Goblin Slayer, which could be anybody. But then Goblin Slayer shows up and we're like, oh, he's a dude.
He's a faceless
character. Yeah, so far we don't know what he looks like.
And I hope you never know, because I love faceless characters. Faceless characters are awesome, and he doesn't have a real name. He just said, like, what's your name? Goblin Slayer. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is like my fantasy. Like, this is a fantasy show.
But
there's always this part of the unit that was watching. It would be great if, like, Ninja Slayer shows up, and then just the two of them face off.
So the problem with the show, is that goblins are like, if anybody who plays D&D, goblins are like level one monsters that you fight. And so the fact that the entire show is about Goblin Slayer slaying goblins is like,
and he's only silver. He's a silver level hero.
Right.
He's not a platinum level hero. They explain the guild levels, which you start off at porcelain, then you go to bronze, then you go to silver, then you go to gold, then you go to platinum.
Yeah.
And he's silver.
So he's not that far along.
Yeah, so he's not like a superhero, but he's also not new. He's not even bronze.
He's just better than than who is not currently dead.
So Jonathan, what you brought up after we watched it was you said, so where does the show go?
Where does the show go from here? It's either gonna flatline and be completely boring after that first episode, or it can only top itself
and be more messed up with every episode that comes out.
I don't know how you could possibly get more messed
up. Apparently, I've been reading online, like, people who have read the light novel series it's based off of.
Damn, it's a light novel? I wanted to read a manga about it.
Let me see if there is a manga version of it. Hold on, Goblin Slayer.
But anyways,
it's light novel series. To finish your point. And yep, there is a manga version of it as well. And there's actually a bunch of like manga versions of it. Prequels, sequels, spinoffs. But apparently it gets more fucked up as it progresses.
How? Good. Whoa. Good. I want Goblin Slayer to kill more goblins. Like that was my impression of the first episode. It was just like, oh my gosh.
How do you top child murder?
Yeah.
Then child rape by goblins. And then more goblin child murder.
And it was funny too, because in the beginning of the episode, they explicitly make a point like, yep, I'm 15 now, so I'm an adult. And it's just like, oh, so there's gonna be sex in this, isn't there? Yep. Not only is there sex, but it's rape. And they're raping, like, 15-year-olds. It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I know there's this whole thing about people say, like, don't use rape as a trigger word. But just so you know, we're telling you audibly about it now. So if you have a problem with that, you don't have to watch it. Because it is pretty explicit.
Like I said, I dropped my sandwich while watching that.
Now, I can't say this at conventions, but it's very true. Wicked anime is not a safe space.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to the hardcore anime panel, Wicked anime is not a safe space. Get the F out.
Tell that to the females who came up to us after
after my wife, who's not weird,
and told us, it was really offensive that you said that periods are gross.
You guys can't say that. You guys can't say that.
Okay, we can't say it. Human anatomy is a farce, apparently. Yeah. And
I'm the hard man with harder opinions, so I'm going to say what
Anyways, that's neither here nor there. Just so you know, there's some messed up stuff that happens in Goblin Slayer, and it's messed up.
I like
it. So the thing that I compared it to was Grimgar. There was a series that came out a couple years ago that was an isekai that was a fantasy world that people went into, and it was real life or death stakes. This one is a fantasy world that everybody lives in, and there are real life or death stakes, but it's also taken a little bit farther. So if you liked Grimgar, then you'll understand how the world works in Goblin Slayer. But they kind of push it, the envelope, a little bit farther.
Yeah, and so because I'm such a D&D guy, and I love D&D, watching a show like Goblin Slayer, I was automatically on board. If you guys remember last episode, that was like the show, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like a fantasy show. This isn't an isekai. This is a fantasy show. And I really, really, really want to watch a fantasy show. And it was messed up. So I'm really kind of on board with this. Not to mention, but Goblin Slayer was a cool character.
He's the next Kenshiro or Josuke.
Yeah, so I'm totally on board. Like, I'm going to watch Goblin. I don't know yet if it's going to be my pick, because Zombieland Saga or... No, those are the two. Zombieland Saga or Goblin Slayer. Those are the two I'm dancing between, whether that's going to be my pick for the season.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, mine still is on Double Decker, Doug and Kiro, but we'll see what these other new shows that have come out might be.
That's right, because I still haven't watched the Dogo Kobo.
Yes.
One. Yep, that's true. Greg, what out of those two, which one did you like better? Zombieland or Goblin Slayer?
I was so much more on board with Goblin Slayer.
Really?
Because I'm a huge D&D guy.
Yeah.
I mean, D&D is a game where... I mean, honestly, it really doesn't need explanation for a lot of this audience base, I believe. But it's like, there's just so much, many more things that you can, like, the best creative stories that you can come up with that you can't put on TV.
Yeah. What are you saying, Greg? You saying I'm a nerd? Not like one of them nerds?
I think you're a beautiful nerd.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And this show starts to emulate that, and I understand that there are some very gruesome and dark things that happen in this show, but not everything is unicorns and rainbows. Like, there are dark sides to adventure.
Yeah.
Bad things do happen, and though they don't show, even though, how do I say this?
It's present, it's in it, and it's clearly there, but they don't show everything.
Correct, thank you.
Now, I wonder if there's going to be uncensored versions of it, though, because...
There wasn't much left to be uncensored.
No, but, so here's the thing, though. There was that scene where the girl gets stabbed in the stomach.
Yeah.
And there's very clearly a goblin that they placed right in front of that.
Well, and so
when the Blu-rays come out, they can take that goblin and shift him down or remove him completely, and they can show the goblin stabbing her.
Yeah, and then it was very clear that the kid who gets his arm chopped off by a goblin axe is what was cut as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think the gore is going. It might not be nudity.
I thought, yeah, I was thinking you were talking about the sexual explicit stuff.
It might not be nudity, but the gore might actually be in the final cuts, which I'm already on board with buying this on DVD. Unless it gets, it might get stupid.
Yeah,
like that's the thing is, I can't get too excited because it might get stupid.
It might get stupid. But the thing that I was saying is that. I don't know if they had to be so explicit. I think that the series would have been just as cool if they had implied the fact that goblins were very sexual in nature, which is weird to say in the first place. But, like, you know, it was like, oh, there were towns that had females kidnapped. Oh, we saved some females at the bottom
of this goblin. Like the, it's kind of like how they handled it with Drifters, where, like, it's all, like, the female elves who were, like, assaulted by, like, the humans and everything.
That's actually a perfect example of what I'm looking for, Evan. Thank you. They did it correct in Drifters.
They did it the right way. They did it in a way that wouldn't disturb people. Like, it's implied, but it's not done so in a way that would make you, like, throw up or trigger something within you. You knew this happened, but it's all off camera.
Exactly.
That's a trigger.
Studio trigger.
Yeah.
Gridman. So I agree with you, Evan. I think that you could, like, they could just have taken just a step back a little bit. Just
a step back. Do it in a way that wouldn't make me drop my sandwich.
Now I have to make a new sandwich.
Take a step back. Take that camera back. Because that was weird. Like, that the camera angle was very, like, oh, we zoomed in. Like, but, so I don't know. Like, that's like what we're saying is we don't know what is censored and what's
If you just take a couple freeze frames of the moment that we're talking about in the show, there are some things that are just like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All I know is that I was impressed with the character of Goblin Slayer.
Yes.
I don't know if the series is going to remain good, but I hope it does.
It was a very convincing first episode.
It was a very convincing.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Very well done.
Yeah.
So maybe if they just made a movie, like if they made a Goblin Slayer movie and they just did an extended version of that, and then that would have been it. Like, it would have been one solid adventure movie, and then, like, that would have been it for it, then it could run its course and not be super stale. But we're just making assumptions right now. We don't know what's coming up next, and we'll see.
Fans of the light novel series say it gets pretty fucked up, so we may be seeing a lot more disturbing things as it progresses.
I was just going to say, the movie, I think the concept of a movie would be better for, like, this type of format.
Yeah.
I mean, as I think you just said, I mean, the name is way too specific for what he does. I mean, and it would be boring if he just killed goblins every episode. And they mentioned that there's bigger and better.
Do you kill witches? Nope, just goblins.
No. Hey, Goblin Slayer, you're such a good slayer. Can you go out and kill these lichens? No, I won't. What about these level one rats that are infesting the bottom of our basement? No. It has to be goblins.
I mean, how much?
There's a goblin over there! That's a golem dressed up as a goblin! Nope!
Painted green. Quick.
It's like, yeah, you have a king goblin, a shaman, and a couple regular goblins.
It was a hobgoblin. The big one was a hobgoblin.
Okay, but he wasn't, alright, he wasn't a king one.
Yeah.
But, like, there's not much more you can do.
He goes up, oh, there are goblins over there! Oh, wait, those are ogres! Never mind!
Maybe Green Goblin will show up in an episode of Spider-Man. Like,
oh, dude, yeah, that I never even thought of that, that they're just gonna ramp up what the goblins are. Make like, is a troll, like, an ultra goblin? Which we I mean, for us D&D players, we know it's not.
It's not.
What would be, like, a goblin dragon?
That would be the weirdest looking dragon.
I bet you that Goblin Slayer could slam goblets in the bar. Just boom, goblet.
I like the pun you used there.
Right? I thought it was pretty on point.
I liked it.
It's a good dad joke.
Slamming right. down goblets while eating giblets. It's Goblin Slayer.
All right, do we want to wrap? Are there any other shows that we want to talk about? We can save plenty more for the next time we record.
I think we should save plenty more.
That was the pinnacle.
That was the pinnacle of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Next episode, though, we'll definitely have to focus back on Fooly Cooly for a second because it's going to end.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The last episode of Fooly Cooly Alternative is next week. So,
and I've been liking this. I've been really enjoying it.
I'll share my extensive thoughts on the next episode, but I don't think it's 100% there. It's not. It can't be the first season of Fooly Cooly, but it's better than Progressive. Like, and I don't think we can say that enough. That give it a shot. It's interesting, but I don't think that it hit the mark. Anyway, more extensive thoughts on that next episode. Let's wrap up. And which we don't have any fan service because we put it all at the forefront with Tempsu's news, and then we're going to wrap it up with some shameless plugs.
Okay, guys. So if you guys want to join in our conversation and talk about shows that you might be watching this season, you can always email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where you can message us there, look at our news updates, our articles, our funny things that we like to share from around the anime internet. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, or where you can find this podcast that you might be listening to already, or you can find us on all the other podcast websites that you might like to listen to, like Podchasers and the new app that we're on, which is called
Acast. Yes, I highly recommend Acast. We're also on Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts, we're there.
Yep, and then
your RSS feed.
We can always you can always find us on youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find our videos that we post. And you can subscribe to us if we ever have any new videos coming around. If. You never know. I mean, I'm not busy anymore. Well, I might be I'm a full-time artist now. So then you can find us on all the social medias. You can find us at Tumblr and Twitter, and just, you know, Google search that Wicked Anime and see where you can follow us online. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
All right, Evan, your turn.
All right. So for the recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Twitter and the anime, video games, and J-pop amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH. And on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bossandbassbrigade and facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Ruck.
Very cool. All right. It's time for us to wrap up this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast.
And you can follow me at Elite4Derek on Instagram and on Twitter. And I'm going to keep staying in my living room because I'm sick as hell. So I hope you guys have a really great week.
Yes! Yes! So good!
Does that mean that I have to put him as the in the...
I guess you do now! Oh, well.
Oh, that's so good.
I have to change the thumbnail for this episode now, so... thank you for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will be sure to drop in on the next time to update you on more fall 2018 shows. We're also going to talk all about that Bowsette that's everywhere. Everybody's new waifu.
Yeah, I have quite a few pictures from the I feel like I'm saying too much already.
Join us for the next episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We hope to see you then. It's time to sign off the only way we know how. Kima!
Goblin Slayer!
Yeah!
Weird, but good anime.
I don't know if there's anything blooper worthy. I think everything is like good enough to stay in. Well, probably.
I think take out the gore thing. Not the whole gore thing, but
I think that me talking about my wife's bodily functions is probably a little less more inappropriate than that.
Oh, okay.
I'll delete that entirely, but I was going to
for
say,
those of you who, if that part was edited out, now that's completely new information to you. And yes, that was cut out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.